And Father, if there's someone in here right now who is estranged from you, maybe they knew you at one point and walked with you, but life happens and they've run the opposite direction. Father, would you reach them where they are? Holy Spirit, would you awaken within them a desire to come back and to love you deeper? Lord, it's possible that someone's in this room that doesn't know you. Maybe academic questions have kept them from truly trusting in you. Maybe life's hurt them and they think if life hurts them, you'll hurt them. Father, that's just not true. Speak to them, Holy Spirit, in a way that they need to hear to come and to know you today. And Father, as we turn the corner here and we look at your word, we just pray that everything that's said and done will be pleasing to you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you take the word of God and apply it to your people and to those who are searching and asking questions about life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, that's home. We love them. For those of you who are guests with us today, if you don't celebrate our kids, you have to go help. So, see, that's how that works. So you either celebrate. That's it, because, well, you've got Holly. You'll be okay, Hunter. So they're in Hunter and Holly's hands, so they're in great hands this morning. Always want to remind you that if you want to work with our kids, no joke, just fill out the communication card. We'll do a little background check on you. It's not to check on your speeding tickets, just to make sure you're safe to work with kids. And we'll move you in there, and you'll be blessed working with our children. I promise you will. So just want to encourage you, if that's something you would like to do or pray about doing, please fill that out. Well, we started a series a few weeks ago, took a break last week, called Let It Go. And we're talking about letting go of the things that would keep us from having the 2019 that God really intends us to have. Now, last week, we had Ted Stackpole, who used to be pastor at First Assembly here, talking about CompuCare. If you went to the meeting yesterday for CompuCare, we want to thank you for that. We had it was hugely successful. Three of our families and our church have stepped up to stand in the gap as foster parents for children who have no place to go. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And so many others and so many others have said, hey, you know, we'll do respite care. We won't leave him out there by themselves. We'll give him a date night and we'll go help. And some have said, hey, you know, we'll come around and we'll cook meals and we'll do other things. And I've always volunteered to call Domino's. I'll do that anytime they need it. Right, I'm not cooking, but I will be glad to call Papa John's, Domino's, take your pick. We can prepare a meal, and I'll be glad to help with that for sure. Well, we're talking today about Let It Go, and we're talking about fear. And fear is one of those things that can hit all of us, at regardless of what age that you might be. I remember, as you do if you had children, when your kids were afraid of the dark and you had to leave a light on, and then they sort of grew up and they got out of that, then you sort of left the bathroom light on so they wouldn't, you know, hurt themselves going down the hall. And what happens, though, then we have grown beyond that point, and we still sometimes struggle with fear. Maybe not leaving the light on kind of the fear, but how about facing life and moving ahead kind of fear? And those kind of fears come at us, they get on us, and they shackle us, and they tie us down. But here's some fears for you. I looked it up. It's always fun to do this. Here's some crazy ones that I found. Here's a zoophobia. Anybody know zoophobia? What's zoophobia? Fear of animals, right? Fear of animals, right? And here's one. I got to get it right. The neutrophobia. Fear of beautiful women. So all you girls who are not getting dates, it's because this is epidemic among men, right? They are afraid of beautiful women. So it is epidemic, right? Here's one for you. Trypanophobia. Where's my nurses and doctors? Afraid of injections. Okay, some people are tracking. Okay, that one makes a little bit more sense, all right? How about podophobia? My sister-in-law has this. I hope she's not watching on Facebook. My sister-in-law has this podophobia. Afraid of feet. Yeah, so no pedicures for you, right? So, now here's one that was weird. This was a weird one. Didn't expect to find this one. Octophobia, afraid of the figure eight. Isn't that weird? Afraid of, now, how many of you are feeling more normal now? So everybody's feeling a little, I'm not that crazy. I mean, I thought I was nuts, but I'm not that bad. Okay, here's one. Epiphobia, okay? Ready for that? Epiphobia. Afraid of teenagers. Now, some of you are not afraid of them. You just don't like them. Let's be honest. It's not a fear thing. It's just you don't really like them, right? Okay. Okay. Yeah, there we go. And then the last one is electorophobia. Electorophobia. Ready for this? I promise you this is what it is. You're afraid of chickens. You're chicken of chickens. Now that is insane, right? So we're looking through all these fears, and I don't mean to make light of one of these fears or yours, but as we look at the scriptures today, we're going to realize that God has given us a mechanism, clearly within his word, to let go of all these fears. So this might not be one of your fears. You may be afraid of the outdoors. You may be afraid of crowds. You may have glossophobia, which is the number one fear. Do y'all know what glossophobia is? Fear of speaking in public. Some of you may have glossophobia. I just approached someone to maybe give a testimony next week, so I'm outing you. I'm not saying your name, but I said it means talking in public, and she's like, no. And so we'll work on it. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And actually, let's start at verse 6. And the Bible says this: "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control." Now, some of you have read this verse and you've heard it said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we'll talk about that. So how do we begin to let go of fear? So if you're here today, and truly, if you're paralyzed in some area of your life by fear, if your tomorrow looks pretty dark and bleak because of fear, this is for you. If you wake up in the morning, you're afraid to go out of your house and face the day, this sermon's for you. If you look down the road and you think about your kids and you're paralyzed by the what ifs, you know you can what if yourself into a horrible life. You can sit and in your mind what if yourself into a corner and have a terrible existence. You can what if your kids it really into misery, parents, if you're not careful. What if this? What if this? What if this? What if this? You can what if yourself into some very, very bad spots. So here's what the Bible does. The Bible gives us a very simple process to follow to break free, to let go of fears. So if you're here today and you're afraid, maybe you're a young single, you're afraid of never being married. If maybe you're an older single, you're afraid of losing your spouse. And it paralyzes you. You stay up at night wondering what would happen. Maybe you're afraid that your spouse may walk out on you. What would happen if my spouse walked out on me? Man, I am petrified of that. What would happen if I would lose my job? Man, I'm such and such years old, and my skill set's this, and they're demanding this now in the marketplace, and I'm just really scared. And you're here today, and whatever it is might be petrifying you and scaring you. Here's the process that God gave us in his word to begin to break free and to let go of fear. The first thing we see in this text is this. If you look in verse 7, the Bible says, "For God," or some translations, "but God." God, it always starts with God. Listen, the answer to all of your problems begins with the Lord. Amen. Whatever the question is in the depths of your life, the beginning of that solution is going to be with God. You're sitting here today and you're in a lot of fear because maybe you haven't really understood who God is. Now, clearly, God isn't the giver of bad things. He's the giver of good things, but I need to convince you of that today. Because if you're sitting here with a fear problem, you're probably dealing a little bit with a God knowledge deficit problem. And so let's try to ramp that up a little bit and see if we can't get over the hump. So the first thing we got to know about God and the main thing we have to know about God is his basic nature. Now in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, you know it, the Bible says God is love at the end of that verse. This is a defining characteristic of God. God could have defined himself by anything. Now God's a lot more than love, but he is love perfectly. God is also holy. He is also just. He is also immutable. He never changes. He's also eternal. He's never had a creation or an ending. God's a lot of things, but in that lot of things, God is love. Now, there's three types of love, and you know what they are. First love is phileo love, which is friendship love. It's a friendly love. It's a love we have here. We have a lot of phileo love here. I hope if you're a guest today, you can sense that and feel that, because we really do have that here. And so thankful for it. It's a phileo love. It's a friendly love. Then there's the eros love. That's the sexual kind of love. That's the kind of love man and woman has that draws you together to marry and have kids. But then there's the agape love. And that's what this is talking about. You're going to see the word love three times in three different scriptures. All three of those loves are the agape kind of love. And here's what agape love is. We don't really get it down here because we're humans and we're incapable of loving at this level, I think, at some degree. But here's what agape love is. Agape love is a perfect, complete love. that loves and gives expecting nothing in return. When God loves us, he doesn't expect anything in return. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could walk down the aisle and get married and we could say, I am loving totally selflessly. I'm not getting invited over. We can love perfectly selflessly. I'm going to love and it's going to be selfless and I don't expect anything in return. I'm just going to give, and I expect nothing back. I am going to love selflessly. As much as you walk down the aisle and want it to mean that, because we're human, we're somewhat crippled in our ability to love like God. Hello, because we're imperfect. And so we walk down wanting to do that, but we can't. But God loves completely. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Catch this. He had agape love for us, this unbelievable, perfect love, expecting nothing in return, looking, really, all of time is ever present before God. So here's God enthroned on high. All of time is ever present before the Lord. He sees the end before the beginning. Before there's a beginning, he sees it. There's never anything hidden from his eye or his knowledge. He knew every sin, every thought, every deed you were going to do. He knows right now what you're thinking. That is, Terry, hush, I'm hungry. He knows that. He knows you're saying, Terry, hush, I'm hungry. Land the plane. Right? He knows that. So here's the thing. God, in all of eternity, above and beyond everything, in all of eternity ever present before the Lord, he knew all of your sins before you committed one of them. He knew all of your vile thoughts before you thought one of them. He knew all the horrible decisions you would make before you made one of them. And the Bible tells us he chose to love us anyway. Isn't that amazing? So God, when the Bible says God is love, he is this agape love that has the capacity to love without condition. Now, the second aspect of this agape love is it's a relentless love. It's a love that chases you down. We sing a song like that, right? It is a love that chases you down. Because if God doesn't seek us, we can't seek him in our sinfulness. So it's out of the love of God that God seeks us to redeem us. And this agape love allows him and demands that he seeks us even when we don't seek him. I don't know if this is your testimony or not. Many of you live far better than I did. But I tell you, God ran me down when I wasn't looking for him. And he ran me down for one reason. Not because I deserved it, because I certainly did not. He ran me down because he loved me. And he ran you down in the middle of your stuff because he loves you. And this love is perfect. And it's an agape love, and it's amazing love. So the Bible says the first place, if we want to get free from all of this fear, we have to understand God. And I would close with just one idea about the love of God. John 3:16. You know it. It's so simple, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's what you got to get, because we're going to contrast this next to fear. Hang with me. God loved you so much, he gave his best to demonstrate his love so you could have a relationship with him. Now, if God loves you that much, and he does, why would he give you a spirit of fear? Why would he use fear as a motivating factor in your life? Why would he use fear to get you to do anything for him if he loves you that much? The answer is he wouldn't. Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, I caught you. Because somewhere in the Bible, I'm Googling it right now, it says that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? So, I got you. Okay, let me differentiate between the two fears. May I? Okay, the fear talking about in that verse is talking about reverential awe. It talks about coming to the Lord because of his greatness and his grandeur and his majesty and who he is. It's about looking at him and then realizing who I am, falling down on my face and saying, God, you are everything, I am nothing, and I surrender who I am, what I am, and whatever I'm going to be to whatever you want me to be. It's a fear that is transformational and drawing because of the greatness of God, not because he can send you to hell, though he can send you to hell. But that's not the point. I mean, the point is that because of his greatness, we begin to revere him at the highest level. Here's the one thing I'm afraid of in the 21st century church. God has been downgraded to a cosmic bellhop. I want fixes for my problems, so all I got to do is dial God up in prayer, and he's going to come and he's going to fix it. Let me tell you, we're talking about the holy other God. Karl Barth said, that God is wholly other. That means he is fundamentally, in his essence, different than anything we understand on this earth. Now, knowing that God is that, that should produce this sense of awe within our life. It was Rudolf Otto, I've shared this with you before, who talked about the noumena and the sense of awe, who said that there are these moments when the Spirit of God descends upon you and there's this awestruck feeling that comes into your life and you surrender yourself to the greatness of God and because of who he is, and his love compels you to be transformed. This is the awe that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you know not of this power, if this is foreign to you, maybe, just maybe, you've never encountered the Christ who resurrected from the grave, who wants to change you forever. If you're trapped in fear, if you're trapped in any type of fear, it is going to take a compelling reality to shake you loose from that fear. And I would say it must begin, and the scripture begins, with the person of God. Now, second, look at what the scripture says. It said, for God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Now, this word spirit, there's a couple of ideas on this. Some people want to say that this is capital S spirit, like a demon. Not true, not in this text. This text is a small s. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. This is why God, your thinking and your mindset and how you process life in reality as a believer matters on how you're going to deal with your life every day. This is why in Philippians 4:8, Paul says, now finally, brother, think on these things. Think on these things, things that are just and that are true and that are holy and that are righteous, that are upright. Your thought process will eventually determine where you go in your life as a believer or as not a believer. And so your thoughts are going to have to change. And so this spirit, this small thought process did not come from the Lord. So he says this, so for God did not give us this spirit, this mindset of fear, but of power, love, and of self-control. Let's talk about power. The Holy Spirit of God comes to reside in you at the moment of your salvation. And the Holy Spirit comes and resides in you for a couple of reasons, Scripture tells us. One, to bring comfort into your life. If you're here today and you're struggling and you're hurting, man, somebody walked out on you, you got a bad report from the doctor, your finances are not going in the right direction, man, it's just bad. Listen to what I'm telling you today. God loves you. The Holy Spirit is in your life to comfort you and to bring peace into your life. He loves you that much. That's part of the mission of the Holy Spirit. Now, another part of the mission of the Spirit is to lead you into holiness, thus his name, Holy Spirit. Leads us into holiness. That means he drags you out of the sins that tie you up, that snare you up, that rob you from the life God wants you to have. God wants you to have this unbelievable life in 2019, but I promise you, habitual besetting sins will rob you of that, and you'll live a Christian half-life on down the road. But another thing that the Holy Spirit does in your life and comes to do is to help you break free from all the mindset problems that will rob you of where God wants you to be. And fear begins between your eyes. You have the power, because of the Holy Spirit, to break free from whatever's scaring you. You afraid of spiders? You're bigger. Stomp them. Right? You're afraid of flying? Me too. Afraid of heights? Me too. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, because there's a way to get free, and we're going to walk through that getting free thing, all right? So anyway, but you have power to overcome, because Christ lives within you through the person of the Holy Spirit. So Scripture tells us that he gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Scripture tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Something changes when you define your life by loving God and loving people. Here at Grace, and many of you are guests, thank you for coming. Just sort of tell you what we're about. Our credo is real simple. We love God and we love people. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. So we're sort of Jesus people here. And Jesus said, love God and love people, and we're sort of into that. And something really changes when you love God and love people. See, fear happens when we sit alone and we obsess about ourselves. When we obsess about ourselves, our future, our posterity, our health, our finances, how if we're going to be happy, what's going to happen with our family, how we're going to live life, when we begin to obsess on ourselves, fear follows on our mind immediately after that. Well, here's what happens when you love God and love people. You take a break from yourself. You take a vacation from your self-worry. When you begin to love and care about other people, you can't be too concerned about loving and caring about yourself. And in that transaction, in that shift, God begins to set you free from the things that used to scare you and tie you up. God gave you a spirit of power and of love, and love can set you free from that. Love. And then finally, of self-discipline. Some of you have a translation that says sound mind. Self-discipline is really a better one, a better way of, you know, translating that word. Of self-discipline. Because breaking free from fear is a mind thing. So how do we begin to break free from it? How do we shift to break free? How does this self-discipline help us break free? First of all, it's what you think about. It's what you think about. If you're not in God's word on a regular basis, fear will continually be your partner if you struggle with fear. Now, some of you don't. But those of you who have a tendency and a mindset to obsess on fear and struggle with fear, fear is going to continue to come and continue to come till you replace that thinking with better thinking. And the only better thinking is God's word. Now, you and I know, because we've talked about this, I have a little ritual that I do every morning. Now, I am for rituals. I'm for rituals that matter. I'm for rituals that produce transformation. And this is a ritual that has helped me in my life. So for those of you who don't know, I'll share it with you. And again, if you have a ritual that's not mine, stick to yours. Yours is probably better than mine. But if you don't have one, I like mine better. Right? So because I have one. So here's the ritual. I wake up and I say the Apostles' Creed. Well, Terry, I don't have it memorized. You got it in front of you. You can take this home with you right there. I say the Apostles' Creed every morning. Every morning, I say the Apostles' Creed. When I'm waking up to take my 75-pound lab out, I am saying the Apostles' Creed and wondering why she didn't wait another hour. But I'm saying the Apostles' Creed. Why? Because I'm starting my day orienting my thoughts on the realities of God. And this is a nice composite, you can memorize this, of the realities of God, some of the realities of God. Then the second thing I do is I use the Lord's Prayer as my model prayer for the morning. I recite it, and I use those words to foster what I will pray about that morning. Every morning. Did it this morning. Now, you don't have to do what I do. It's just what I do. But you need to find a ritual. If you struggle with fear, the only way you're going to break free from fear is by replacing those thoughts with godly thoughts. And the only way you're going to find godly thoughts is through His Word. So I would begin to displace whatever you think in the morning. Don't do your list. Don't do your to-dos. Don't do your regrets from yesterday, because you can't live yesterday over. That's over. Let it go. Right? Get up in the morning and focus on what's ahead and get into God's Word. That's the first thing you need to do. The second thing you need to do is fill your life that day with positive messages. Now, if you're a music person, obviously I'm going to push Hope FM. Robin's sitting here, so I'm going to push Hope FM. You can listen to Hope FM. Matter of fact, you got an app now, right, Robin? Got an app. Okay, so you can download the app and you can listen to it wherever. But it's positive music with a positive message, biblical message, that will help you in your thought process. If you do not deliberately engage, you are just not going to be delivered from fear in a general sense. Now, can God do it? Can He come down and supernaturally, bam, you're delivered? He can. And He does it with some people. But more often than not, it's this, God's given you power, love, and self-discipline. It's that self-discipline side that God blesses and God uses to get rid of that fear in your life. And so you got to replace it with good things. And then finally, end your day thanking the Lord that you lived life more full than the day before. End the day thanking the Lord for what's happened. Now, the other two things you got that are going to happen as you begin to do this, the step you got to take, are profound. One of them is you have to get on mission with the Lord. If you look at verse 6 in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, what the Bible is telling us is that Paul's saying, look, here's the deal. You've got this gift that the Holy Spirit's given you. Fan it, flame it, stir it up, man. Let it go. Why? Because he's focusing on the external advancement of God's kingdom. He's saying, this is why you were saved. This is why you were redeemed. This is why you're part of God's family. You have a gift. Now fan that gift, stir up that flame, and go in advance. Here's what will happen. If you will ask God to put you on mission with Him, listen, and to do what it is He's called and equipped you to do, fear will flee. God is about advancing His kingdom. And if you need to be free from fear to advance His kingdom, He is going to get that fear out of your life. And right here is what He says it in the context. He says, stir up that gift. Stir up that flame. Do what I've called you to do. Get out there and do what I've anointed you to do. And guess what? Here's why you can do it. Because God's given you power, love, and a sound mind, a self-disciplined mind. So go out there and get it done. If we sit in our house with the lights off, depressed and in the corner, afraid of what's going to happen, that is not doing anything for the kingdom of God. And it's not advancing you in the process. You've got to engage in the kingdom. Now, what's going to happen when you do that? Second thing that's going to happen, and then we're done. As you do these things, as you're in the Word, filling your mind with good messages, doing what God's called you to do, getting out there in mission, trust is going to stir up in your life. You're going to begin to trust the Lord. You're going to begin to trust the Lord. How many of you know when you test the Lord, you know you can trust the Lord? When you step out and do what He's told you to do and you watch Him come through, you trust Him even more. Some of you have made big steps of faith the last 2 years. I know you have, and it's been cool to see. And what you've seen is you've taken those steps of faith. God's met you there, and now you know what? I can trust the Lord. Some of you have trusted the Lord to pray. There's some of you here struggling with sicknesses and illnesses. And you've struggled with the Lord, and you've said, hey, Terry, we want the church to pray for us. We want to be anointed with oil and prayed for. We've never done that before, but the Bible says do it, so we're going to step out and do it. And so you've come up and we've done it, and you've seen God do the miraculous and heal you. And you've gained in your trust. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. I'm asking you today to let go of your fear. To let go of your fear because of who God is. And because of what God has done in your life. You can let it go, and you can walk free. Some of you will have a better 2019 than you've had in years if you'll just let go of your fear. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to walk with you. He'll take care of you. Let go of your fear. You're saying, yeah, Terry, but I don't know, man. You know, it's getting iffy out there, and I'm not sure if I can get through. You know, the job's looking bad, and things are not looking good. God's bigger than your job. Trust me, I know. God's bigger than your job. Yeah, Terry, but the doctor said, you know, hey, look, you know, doctor said things are not good and it's just not really great. And, I'm just sort of afraid. The needle thing I'm okay with, but I don't want to go to the doctor and get the results of the test. I just don't want to hear it. God's bigger than the doctor. He loves you. He's bigger. Terry, I don't know, you know, I'm in this dating relationship and I've been burned so many times, and man, I just don't want my heart to get broken again. God's bigger than a broken heart. If you know Christ today, the Spirit of God lives within you. And the Bible says He's given you not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Operate in that reality, and I promise you, you'll be able to let go of fear. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, with this many people, there's some folks struggling with fear today. They don't want to share it because sometimes embarrassing. They don't want to admit it, but it's controlling them. So, Father, I pray right now that you would meet your people where they are hurting, and bring healing into their life. If you're struggling with a fear today, I wonder if you would take the first step and admit it by just lifting your hand right now. Just right now, I'm struggling with a fear right now. Just lift up your hand, lift up your hand. Okay, slide it down. Thank you, all over this room. Thank you for being honest. God draws near honest hearts. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So thank you for being honest today. I'm going to ask the Lord right now to help you walk through this process. Father, those folks who raised their hand, and maybe those who didn't, who are struggling with fear, Father, first of all, help them focus on you. You are God, You're their loving Heavenly Father. You're not the author of fear, but of faith. Father, you don't use fear in your children's life. Help them realize that what they're experiencing is not from you. Lord, you have said perfect love casts out all fear. So, Father, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will flood them now with unbelievable love. Help them sense that love and feel that love right now. And now, Father, I pray they'll take the steps of disciplining their mind, that they will commit now to be in your word on a daily basis. Father, help them do that. Lord, build within them a healthy spiritual ritual, a healthy practice that focuses them on your greatness and your truth, not on the troubles that are in the world. Father, help them develop that right now, Father. Cause them to make a commitment right now to disciplining their mind. Lord, put them to work. Put them to work in your kingdom. Father, knowing that as they work in your kingdom, that fear has to run away. And then finally, Lord, grow them in the area of their trust in you. And now finally, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, most important question of the day. Do you know Christ personally? Have you come to the place, maybe you're struggling with fear, maybe fear has gripped you, and man, you don't know how to break free. Let me tell you, the first step and the most important step is knowing Christ personally. How do you do that? Here's the gospel. Just right there where you sit, just say, Jesus, thank you for allowing me to pray. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe on the third day you resurrected from the grave. And right now, I declare you Lord of my life, and I place my faith and my trust in you alone for salvation. I'm not trusting in my works. I'm not trusting in religion. I'm not trusting in going to church. Jesus, I'm trusting in you for salvation. Please forgive me of my sins as I surrender my heart and my life to you. Now thank him. Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for sealing me, placing the Holy Spirit inside of me to the day that I go to heaven. Thank you for that reality. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just slip up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Thank you. A few of you. Okay, so here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that once you do that, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We want to help you do that. We're going to be done here in just a few minutes. And I'm going to be up here. Ryan's going to be around. We want to talk with you. Want to make sure you have a Bible. Want to make sure you take those steps to follow the Lord in baptism. We don't twist arms. We don't beg. The gospel's too important. We don't do that. But we simply present the opportunity for you to do what a loving Heavenly Father would have you do. So we invite you to come as soon as our service is over, and let's get that set up and scheduled and let it happen. Well, Father, thank you for a great time today. Now, Lord, as we transition into time around your table, Lord, I pray that you'll be pleased again with what happens. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. I'm going to ask those who are helping with communion to come forward, please. Those who are helping with communion, come on forward. As they're coming, let me just talk you through how we do communion here. First, we believe that the table of the Lord is the Lord's. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the church. Jesus gave his life, and therefore it's his table. Now, what do we believe happens at the table of the Lord? Well, we don't believe that it's just a memory jog. We don't believe that we just do it to sort of, hey, remember I died for you. We think it's a little bit more than that. 1 Corinthians 11 says that some came to the table in an unworthy manner. Therefore, some became sick and some died. And so we believe, along with some of the reformers, that this is a spiritual encounter with the Lord. That as you come, like never before in what we do in the calendar of the church, that the Spirit of God hovers in a different way around communion. And again, because of the 1 Corinthians 11 passage, we just believe that this is a significant spiritual time. We do not believe the elements transmute. That means they don't change substance. The bread doesn't become the body and the cup doesn't become literally the blood. But we do believe it's a spiritual encounter with the Lord. Here's what we know. If you will come to the table of the Lord with a thankful heart and a joyful heart, reflecting and focusing on what God has done for you through the person of Jesus Christ, you will be blessed through this process. You will be encouraged through this process. The Spirit of God will begin to speak to you in ways through this process. So we just encourage you when you come to do that. Now, we have two modes of the way we give communion. One is the cup method. Many of you are familiar with the cup method. Just know that there are two cups. I won't touch any. There are two cups, so make sure you get the bottom one because the bottom is where the bread is. Top one is where the juice is. And the other one is called intinction. You'll take the bread and you'll dip it in the cup and you'll partake. As you come forward, the servers will say something to the effect of, you know, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Why do we do that? Because we just quote Jesus. Let me tell you that we quote Jesus. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 11, here's what the scripture says. For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that Jesus on the night he was betrayed, that he took the bread and we had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we simply quote Jesus. And we're just really good with Jesus. Amen? It doesn't matter where you go to church. Doesn't matter where you're a member. We invite you to come and have communion with us. Now, we do respect that perhaps some of you, because we are a non-denominational church, some of you may come from a tradition that says you can't have communion in another church. If you feel that pressure, we honor that. But know that that pressure is not coming from us. You are welcome here, and you are wanted here. And so we pray that you will come to the table. Stand with me, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment, I wonder if you'll take a minute to confess your sins. Scripture tells us if we confess our sins that He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So just confess your sins. Some of you may be feeling condemned right now because of what you did last night or yesterday or last week or what you're planning to do tonight. Listen to what Scripture says in Romans 8:1. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you will be forgiven. All you have to do is confess. The Spirit of God will meet you at the point of your struggle and bring peace into your life. So just take a minute and confess that sin and know because of God's Word, because of what God's Word says, forgiveness is for you. Well, Father, thank you so much for time around your word. And now, Lord, as we come to your table, Jesus, we thank you that you willingly, lovingly, graciously offered up your body and shed your blood so we could have salvation forever. And our home is in heaven when this life is over, only because of you. Thank you. Now as we come to your table, Lord, I pray you meet each person at the point of their need. Holy Spirit, stir within each person what needs to happen. Help answer those questions that they're struggling with. Holy Spirit, I pray that this will be an encounter with you that will be transformational for these your people, Father. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Sort of how we do that, we have both modes, both styles of communion on both sides. So this side will come this way, this side come this way, and y'all sort of eyeball it. So that's how spiritual it is, just eyeball it. So come on up.
This is the body. This is the blood. Broken. Sharing His love. This is the body. This is the blood. I will remember everything, Lord, you done for me. Won't take granted the sacrifice that set me free. for all of us. In His communion, we share in His love. This is the body. This is the blood.